The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome one and all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blog and theboys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Thursday, March 19th, 2020, and we are here with a very special bonus episode of The Ocho. That's right. You know, earlier this week, with free agency going on, a particular name was connected to the Dallas Cowboys. You know the one I'm talking about. That's right. Pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney. Oh yeah, and Cowboys fans started to wonder, is this possible? Could this really happen? Clowney playing opposite DeMarcus Lawrence. It is an interesting idea to consider, to say the least. This idea was first actually floated out by none other than Joe Thomas, former Cleveland Browns offensive lineman, now obviously works for NFL Network. And so you know what we thought? Let's figure out what Joe's thinking. All right, what exactly went into this thought from Joe? Because a lot of Cowboys fans had some thoughts, had some discussions, had some ideas. So we were able to reach out to Joe. He was kind enough to join us, and he talked about why this. I'll be honest, and I'll say when I first heard Joe say this, I kind of thought, you know, there's no real possibility of this happening. But hearing Joe explain it, I mean, again, I'm not saying that I believe this is happening, but there is definitely more logic to it than you think. Joe also, by the way, is the co-host of The Tomahawk Show, a podcast that covers the Cleveland Browns kind of as a whole, but also touches on the NFL. It's really great. He co-hosts it with Andrew Hawkins, who, if you remember, if you watched the reality show that Jesse Hawley won with Michael Irvin, fourth and long, Andrew Hawkins finished second, ultimately played for the Cleveland Browns, also obviously originally played for the Cincinnati Bengals and whatnot, but it's a great podcast. It's in my rotation, and so Joe was kind enough to join us. So let's quit wasting time. Let's go ahead and get to it. Here he is, the one, the only, from the Tomahawk Show and NFL Network. Joe Thomas joins us next, right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by a very special guest and very good friend of bloggingtheboys.com, the one, the only legendary Cleveland Browns offensive lineman. Now you can find him making his way on NFL Network. He's one of the only guys in these times that uses an actual microphone while he's on camera, which I know I appreciate. Joe Thomas. Joe, how's it going?
I've been good, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
It has been interesting, obviously. You and I were talking right before we started recording. Obviously, these are very serious times for our world. But watching NFL Network all day long, it's kind of a good, a little bit of publicity for AirPods. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's got the AirPods. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, man. It's funny because I've never really done the reporting from home thing. And I know there's a lot of NFL Network reporters that do it very often. And so they've got the nice lavalier mics and they've got the big setups. Well, I was totally unprepared and I was supposed to be on TV all week with those guys. And so all I got is my podcast setup, which is the Apple headphones, the AirPods, and the giant Yeti mic I bought on Amazon. And so I've been getting a lot of teasing because of my setup, but I'm comfortable with the size of my mic.
Well, I think it looks professional. And you mentioned the podcast, co-host of the Tomahawk Show with Andrew Hawkins, who Cowboys fans, real Cowboys fans, will remember from Fourth and Long. Obviously was the runner-up to Jesse Hawley. You guys have one of the better, you know, this is such a great day and age where podcasts are run by players and guys that have been there and done that. And you guys do a great job, you know, bring a little bit of everything. I know you guys had Dez on a while back, too.
We did, yeah. We had Dez on when he was talking about potentially signing with the Browns. Both Andrew and I are former teammates in Cleveland, so obviously our podcast kind of always has a few good Cleveland hits, but we always try to hit all the NFL stuff. And being that he was a receiver and I was an offensive lineman, and we both retired a few years ago, but we still got a lot of nice contacts in the NFL, which helped spice up the pot a little bit. So sure. It was great having Dez on and talking about maybe coming to Cleveland, which ended up not happening, but yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes.
No, I mean, it's always good. It's always great to listen to. You're right. You guys hit the league as a whole generally enough for everybody to enjoy. And with regards to the Cowboys, I don't know if you've ever felt the sort of social media weight of Cowboys fans, but I have a feeling that happened this week. You know, you were on NFL Network, as you mentioned, in the Thomas bunker, so to speak. And you mentioned a free agent at the time that you and I are talking, at least, is still a free agent, Jadeveon Clowney. You said, the Cowboys, Jadeveon Clowney, let's make it happen. I think everybody's kind of wondering what went into that, because I know you got a lot of responses. So, you know, state your case.
Absolutely. You know, I work with Michael Irvin on Thursday Night Football every week, and so Mike and I are good buddies. And I absolutely know that, obviously, the Cowboys fans are the most numerous and probably one of the most passionate fan bases in all of pro sports. And so anytime you say anything about the Cowboys, Twitter is going a Twitter. So talking about Jadeveon Clowney this week was exciting, but it really, to me, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm not sure after signing Gerald McCoy, the numbers can still work at this point. But for me, they had just lost Robert Quinn, who obviously was your leading sacker last year. Great pass rusher, but not the all-around player that Jadeveon Clowney is. I played against Jadeveon Clowney a bunch of times when he was with the Texans. He's a disruptive force. He's a guy that you have to game plan for. He's not a guy where just on third down he trots out on the field and you can throw a tight end at him and kind of chip him or get a little extra bump or a slide and you can take care of him. He's a force wrecker. He's a guy that in the run game you got to have a plan for. A lot of times you have a hard time running at him because of how good he is at making blockers miss. And when you have a guy like that who you have to game plan around, he makes everybody's defense better. So there's 32 teams in the NFL that if Jadeveon Clowney was out there on defense, they would find a way to get him on the field, and he would make that defense better. And to me, that's way more valuable than a guy that's going to have 10 or 12 sacks every single season. And so I think there's huge value with Clowney. I think the reason that he hasn't been signed yet is twofold. One, he was asking for a lot of money, and maybe the market wasn't exactly there to reset the market for outside linebacker, pass rusher, defensive end types. But also, he has had some medical issues throughout his career. Obviously, he had the microfracture in the knee coming out of college, and he's had some knee issues in the NFL. He had some core muscle injuries last season with Seattle, and with the current state of affairs with the coronavirus, teams are going to want to get their hands on you and have their team physicians check you out in person. They don't want to just rely on somebody else's report if they're going to give you a bag of money.
Yeah.
And with Clowney's asking price being, you know, probably – 15 to 20 million per season, it's going to be tough since the NFL has banned all in-person visits for teams to go out on a limb and sign a guy like that right now that they have medical questions about. So I think it makes a lot of sense that teams are kind of waiting and they're a little bit lukewarm right now, especially with his high asking price. But with the Cowboys being a team that is set up for a Super Bowl run right now, they got the quarterback, they got the running back, they got the O-line, they got the receiver, they got a very good defense. They want to make a splash. They want to be able to shore up that defense, that defensive line. And to me, Clowney just made perfect sense.
I think that's really well said on Clowney. And I know that that's kind of started to be reported that obviously medicals and physicals and things like that are, you know, obviously in limbo, so to speak. And Clowney is a guy who it is certainly more imperative than maybe your average player, just given, as you mentioned, his injury history. Do you really believe? I think that that's where, I don't want to say you lost Cowboys fans, but a lot of Cowboys fans are such pessimists, or you know, really
that's all NFL fans,
right? And so when you say that, you know, there's Super Bowl contenders, every Cowboys or a lot of Cowboys fans scoff at that. Say, yeah, right, you know, whatever. This is the team that went 8-8. I mean, do you really buy that they can contend? And because I think a lot of people look. You and I were talking on Thursday. This is the day the Eagles just got Darius Slay. So a lot of people looking at Philadelphia and saying, can they even beat Philly? But you think, I guess, they're one of the contenders in the NFC.
Well, there's no question. You know, I think they had some issues last year. Some people would say coaching issues. I'm not going to throw any stones at the last coaching staff, but certainly it was a staff that had been there a long time, and they had tremendous production. If you look at the numbers from a yardage standpoint, a point standpoint, I mean, they're at the top of the game all over the place. And you look at their stats and you're going, why aren't they winning more games, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you have a disconnect between the number of wins and the production that you're getting offensively and defensively, you got to say there's an issue. And I think truly that people in that organization, Cowboys leadership, believed that it was a coaching problem. And so they brought in a guy, Mike McCarthy, who is a Super Bowl winning coach. I grew up in Wisconsin. I currently live there. Mike McCarthy's a very good coach. He's bringing in a very, very good staff. And a lot of times just that change of scenery, just that change of coaching staff for a team can really be an impetus to motivate them and bring the best out of guys and bring that competitive spirit out of players that maybe they weren't getting because of some getting used to and comfortable with the previous coaching staff because they had been there a long time. And so I definitely absolutely think that they are Super Bowl contenders with the makeup of that roster, with that new coaching staff that they've been brought in. And I think Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones believe that. That's why they're paying some of these guys these big bucks. That's why they re-signed Amari Cooper and they franchised Dak, because they think that they can win right now. Now, they lost Byron Jones in the secondary, and they lost Robert Quinn. And when you want to replace somebody in the secondary – sometimes you do that on the defensive line, right? Because there's two ways to defend a pass in the NFL. You either sack the quarterback or you play better coverage. And so I really believe that as time passes, as Clowney's price continues to slide a little bit, because that's how things work in free agency, the longer into free agency that we go, the more that big money dries up, the more the value gets really attractive for some of these players, because you don't have to pay them as much. And so that's why I still believe that there can be a potential to get Jadeveon Clowney in Dallas.
I think that that's certainly good logic and fair logic. And I think when you kind of peel the onion back a little bit, you know, the more you talk about it, the more it makes sense. Something that I'm curious as somebody who's been there, although you didn't necessarily experience this in your career because, you know, Cleveland Brown through and through, you know, we see guys take like a one-year deal, you know, one-year prove-it deal, et cetera. You can go hit free agency next year. Maybe that really is the case for Clowney, you know, kind of what we've talked about. This is a very strange time in the world. And so maybe that's just kind of how the cards fell. And so maybe he looks at 2020 as an opportunity. Let me just go sort of be a mercenary somewhere, and then I'll cash in like I really want to in 2021. Do you think that that is, or in your experience at least, is that a real thing? And if, you know, assuming that is a real thing, does playing for the Cowboys kind of elevate that? Like, let me go play 1 year for the Cowboys, let the whole world kind of get my name out there, and then I'll cash in next year.
Oh, it's absolutely a real thing, because football is such a violent sport. Players want that long-term security that comes with a long-term contract, because typically a lot of years on the contract means it's going to be a higher dollar guaranteed money. Right. And with the amount of injuries, the injury rate in the NFL is just about 100%. Everybody's going to get hurt. And so being able to get that long-term deal is huge. But if you can't get that long-term deal, those one-year prove-it deals, a lot of times, they turn out to be great for both the player and the team, because you're going to get the absolute best version of that guy for 1 year. And so for a team like the Cowboys, who, in my opinion, are built for a championship right now, to be able to get a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who's out there trying to prove that he is the best outside linebacker defensive end, because he knows he's going to get to hit free agency the next year. You're going to get the best out of him. He's going to play through injuries. He's going to give everything he's got in the meeting room, on the practice field, and on Sundays. That could be a great recipe for that defensive line and that defense to have a fantastic year when you got a disruptive force like Clowney, who's playing his best version of himself.
I would be remiss if I did not ask, given your NFL career, about the Cowboys offensive line. You obviously are one of the greatest players in Wisconsin's history. Travis Frederick also hails from Wisconsin. He has the, you know, I feel like, you know, on Sunday Night Football, when guys like say their name in the school, Travis gets the, like, it's perfect, like Wisconsin, you know what I mean? You know, there's so much that's been said about how great they all are. What are your thoughts? Just, you know, I guess in general on the Cowboys offensive line, and granted they are, you know, everybody gets older. And I think people have lost a little bit of confidence in them, but they're still regarded as one of the best units in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for several years, they were hands down the best unit in the NFL, in my opinion. And they certainly have been a top five unit for at least the last maybe decade. Without looking at the numbers right in front of me, they've been fantastic. Really, since Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Travis Frederick got together, they've been at the top of their game. And now with Lael Collins at right tackle, I mean, I don't know. There's no lines in the NFL that really have been able to compare year in and year out to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to be discouraged a little bit because of the outcome from a wins and loss standpoint. But an offensive line is only responsible for so much. You're responsible for blocking, pass, and run. And the rest of the team is responsible for doing things with the football. Offensive linemen, other than the center snapping the ball, they can't put the ball in the end zone. And so they do their part to the best of their ability. And a lot of times they get a little bit more credit than they should when the teams are good. And they get a little more blame than they should when the teams aren't as good. So if I was a Cowboy fan, I would still be counting my blessings with how fantastic they have it on the offensive line. And like you mentioned, I love Travis Frederick. He's got a great beard and he's got a great Wisconsin accent too.
No, I mean, totally. Travis is great. And again, the you got to say it right. You know, I'm not from Wisconsin, but even I can get that and I can understand that. You know, you guys on the Tomahawk Show, you get into a variety of things besides football. You guys talk food every now and then. You know, I think this type of stuff is helpful for everybody in the current climate. What's your meal lifestyle like right now? What kind of recommendations you got? I mean, you know, everyone's holed up, everyone's quarantining. How's Joe Thomas handling everything from a dietary standpoint?
Yeah, man, I love to eat. My big passion that I got into when I retired was starting to cook, because I couldn't boil water when I retired. My wife did all of it, but we had a baby right when I retired, so we had four little kids. And she was like, hey, it's your turn. Go learn it. And so I really dove into it. And I've always been a big hunter, a big fisher. And so my freezer's packed with all the fishing game that I've been collecting over the last year. And so I'm really, you know, trying to make the most of this quarantine, this isolation at home, where I've pulled out a lot of the stuff that's in the back of the freezer, pulling out those venison backstraps, pulling out some of that fish I'd been catching last summer. And just tried to explore new recipes, and you got a lot more time to surf the web. So looking up things that would give me some excitement, enjoyment, things I've never done before, and combinations I haven't had time to do, because, you know, everybody's lived such a busy life in today's day and age. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's like, now you have all this time on your hands, because literally everything's been canceled. But just having this little bit of free agency in the NFL in light of the terrible things that are going on in the world and the lack of, everything normal life that's happening, you know, having these little respites.
Right.
I got an opportunity this week to go on NFL Network, talk free agency, get to go on this podcast with you guys, talk about Cowboys and the NFL. It kind of distracts you, gets your mind off it for a little bit. And I definitely appreciate that. But let's see, what am I going to make tonight? I'm not sure. Maybe some Jamaican jerk chicken wings or something like that. Kind of get my mind thinking island, because it just snowed and I just had to cancel my spring break trip. So maybe that's a little semblance of normalcy.
No, I agree. And you're right. It is, it has been nice, you know, to do what we can and to distract ourselves. And I know we kind of played around with it, but I have been interested to see the setups that, you know, different reporters and people like you have, you know, there's, you know, how many different books, you know, like there's a lot of free publicity going around for books on shelves. I would also be remiss, Joe, if I did not mention, and I'm excited to ask this question. I went to the first time my dad and I went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame was in 2008. And it was the summer and we took a trip. We went out to Cleveland Browns training camp as well. And just to check it out, and it's a very different experience certainly than Cowboys camp. I'm not sure if it's still in that same spot, if it's been there the entire time, but that cute little neighborhood. And so walking around, I ran into two people that were just decked out in Joe Thomas gear. And I mean, I don't know if that's letting your sort of signals go off. There was a man and a woman, and the woman had an orange mohawk. And I walked away from that just thinking, man, these people really love Joe Thomas. I took a picture with them and everything. And it was a year, maybe 3 or so years later, I was watching, I think it was the NFL Top 100, and they were doing the profile on you, you know, how they have like player interviews and stuff. And I believe, as I understood, the woman was your grandmother. Is that correct?
So all along, you thought that I had a big fan base in Cleveland, but really they were nothing more than paid family members. It was actually correct, yes. It was actually my aunt and my uncle. Yes, I do pay them to show up to training camp and cheer me on.
It was so awesome, though, because I just thought that they were the most passionate. And again, this was 2008. So, I mean, this was very, you know, that was, what, your second season? So, I mean, yeah, I was just in the man, your uncle, was wearing a Joe Thomas Pro Bowl jersey. And it was so cool. And, it's always been kind of my personal favorite Cleveland Browns memory. When the movie Draft Day came out, I was just so like, you know, my dad and I were talking about it and everything. Yeah. And so I always did not totally understand exactly what it was. Like I said, I kind of thought there was some familial connection, but, that's pretty cool. I mean, again, if you can put an orange mohawk on, for whatever price, I think it's certainly worth it.
Yeah, if you want Cowboys fans to feel better about themselves right now, since you haven't had a Super Bowl championship in a while, try being a Browns fan. We haven't even been to the playoffs in 2 decades, and we haven't ever won a Super Bowl. So time to count your blessings, Cowboys fans.
Joe Thomas, well, we appreciate you taking the time. We appreciate the logic. I mean, I think every Cowboys fan that was a little on the fence kind of is thinking, you know, that idea, that makes some sense. You are one of the more fun guys on Twitter at JoeThomas73, the Tomahawk Show. I imagine you guys have some stuff planned given the current climate. Hopefully the jerk chicken is good tonight, and hopefully you and your family stay safe. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, we're actually, right when I hang up with you, we're going to record a podcast with Andrew being in LA in quarantine and me in Wisconsin. And we're looking forward to releasing that probably tomorrow. So I hope you guys can download and give you something to distract from daily life right now.
For sure. Thanks a lot, Joe. Take care. We'll talk to you soon enough. Huge thanks to Joe Thomas for taking the time to join us. He does fantastic work. He's such a great follow on Twitter. Again, at JoeThomas73. He's awesome on NFL Network. He's awesome on the Tomahawk Show. Really looking forward to the new episode he puts out with Hawk. Make sure you go subscribe so you don't miss a single episode they put out. Make sure you subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed as well while you're there. Those are two of the best podcast feeds in the world, right? If we're being honest, I mean, Blog and the Boys, Tomahawk Show. I mean, you know, we work hand in hand. That's how things go. Like I said, the clowny logic, there is logic. I think that's really what I came away from this discussion thinking, is that, you know, there is a legitimate sort of way you can think about this where it makes sense. It's not just a lot of people, I think, thought, oh, let's just throw in a name out to the Cowboys, whatever. No, I mean, I mean, again, I kind of buy it a little bit. So we'll see. But I really buy that this whole situation that the world is in is affecting, obviously, the medical side of free agency. And Jadeveon Clowney is a player who that is something that is very, very critical for. And so it makes sense that teams would want to be able to see things themselves, which has delayed this whole process. And then money starts to dry up. And so we'll see whatever happens with Jadeveon Clowney, where he ultimately ends up. Once again, big time thanks to Joe Thomas. Again, this was a bonus episode of The Ocho, so you can expect a normal Friday episode as well. So far, this... you know, we're recording this and taping this, putting this together about 1 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. To this point on Thursday, nothing really major has happened with the Cowboys, so we'll see. We'll see what ultimately happens and how things ultimately shake out. We hope you're well, we hope you're safe, and we hope you have the greatest Thursday of all time. You know why, because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.